Habakkuk 2:15, I'll read it. You just follow along, please. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also. Thou mayest look on their nakedness. I'd like to speak tonight about this theme, or this afternoon, what's in the bottom of the bottle? And we're looking at this statement in verse 15, that puttest thy bottle to him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me to be guided by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would help those of us that are here and those of us that are online that are listening to be attentive to what you have for us in this hour from your word. May we heed the warning of your word. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. While you're being seated, would you turn with me to the book of Proverbs? The book of Proverbs. What's in the bottom of the bottle? Proverbs chapter 23. I want to encourage you be involved in all of the services that you possibly can be. If you have access to the internet, we are live streaming all of our meetings, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, this meeting, and then also Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. They're all live streamed. Not everyone can make it to them. We obviously want as many in person as God allows and that would work out, but we want to take in as much as we can of the Word of God, and you can encourage others to be a part of that as well. Proverbs chapter 23, and we are going to start and read verse 20. It says, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to what? Poverty. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Now, this is a list of things that I don't think any of us, if we're honest, would say, this is what I want in my life. This list that Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is giving us. He's asking, who has these things? Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? Who has all these things? Verse 30, here's the answer. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent. What's it? Yeah, the alcohol, that's right. It bites like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Again, this is all in context. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Why would someone's heart utter perverse things? Because they're not in control of themselves. Because they're under the control right here of alcohol. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. Let's think about what he's writing here. Or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Who goes and lays down in the middle of the ocean? Nobody does that. Unless you're on a surfboard, I guess. And that's not even the middle of the ocean, and that's not what we're just getting. You know, who goes to the top of a mast? You know what a mast is, right? In a ship. Who climbs up to the top of the mast just for a good time? Not really. I don't think that's something that any of us would do, again, in our right minds. They have stricken me, that shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? Look at the sad part of it, though. I will seek it yet again. I come out of this time when I'm in the middle of the water and I have no idea why I'm here and how I got here. I come out of this where I'm at the top of the mast of a ship and I have no... I come out of this and my body I've been beat up, as it says here. I've been beat up and I have no idea what happened. I didn't even feel it till the next day. But then notice the sad part of it is, I will seek it yet again. What's in the bottom of the bottle? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1. I'm going to read now several verses of Scripture. I don't think you'll be able to keep up with me, but you're more than welcome to look at these. You may want to just jot them down. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What's in the bottom of the what's in the bottom of the bottle? Mocker, right? Yes, alcohol. But what comes from that is what we're getting at. Isaiah 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they might follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. What's in the bottom of the bottle? I submit to you that Solomon says there's woe there, there's sorrow there, there's contention there, there's babbling there, there's wounds without cause. I mean, in other words, where did this wound come from? There's redness of the eye, there's a deception, there's thine eyes behold a strange woman, thine heart uttereth perverse things. In other words, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess in Ephesians, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, this stuff controls you. This stuff would control me. This stuff controls anyone, no matter who it is. It's a control mechanism that we have no idea when we're inebriated, if you will, with that. We have no idea what's happening. What's in the bottom of the bottle? Genesis chapter 9, verse number 21. The Bible says, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Genesis 19, 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him. This is one of the saddest places in the entire Bible, where Lot's daughters got him drunk on two separate occasions and ended up getting pregnant by their own father. Study it out. Look at it. Those two nations have been a thorn in the side of the nation of Israel ever since. But look what contributed to it. Look what contributed to it. Alcohol. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. Again, I say that comes back to Proverbs. And what it will bring with it. What's in the bottom of the bottle? Habakkuk 2:15, we read that a moment ago. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Would you think about this statement, please, that I'm about to make? The first drink of alcohol is not a sickness. The first drink of alcohol is not a sickness. You know, a lot of people today would like to say that this person, whether it's alcohol or whether it's something else, it just so happens that's the theme of tonight, but it doesn't matter what it is, you can name it. A lot of people want to say, well, they just have a sickness. But listen to what I'm saying. The first drink of alcohol is not a sickness. It is a sin and a poor choice. And it can lead to a sickness. But you can't tell me that first drink of alcohol is because you are sick. No, it's because you made a wrong choice. And I'm not saying you. I'm just using that statement as a general statement. Online people are listening tonight as well. Let me make several statements. Number one, every drunkard began with one drink. Every drunkard began with one drink. And if you're visiting here tonight, you don't know me that well, maybe you've just met me, I want you to understand something here. The people that know me, and again, I'm not saying this in any defense at all, but I'm coming to you as a concerned pastor, as a concerned friend, as someone, yes, you don't even know who I am, and you just walked in on a sermon about alcohol. I want you to know that this stuff is deceiving. That's the second thing. Number two, liquor is deceiving. Every drunkard begins with one drink. Liquor is deceiving. Number three, drinking alcohol is completely unnecessary. It's completely unnecessary. What good comes out of it? What's in the bottom of the bottle? I submit to you, absolutely nothing good. I have sat across from many a people who have told me about the bottle in their life. They have told me about alcohol in their life. They have told me about the abuse of it and the consumption of it and taking any of it in. And I've never had anybody sit across the table from me and the desk from me and say, Pastor Turner, alcohol has been a blessing in my life. I've never had anybody say that. And if somebody did say that, I would have to question exactly where they're coming from and what planet they just fell off of. And I say that somewhat jestingly, but also very seriously, that I don't know anyone that could tell me with a straight face that it has benefited my life. And fourthly, drinking identifies us with the wrong crowd. It identifies us with the wrong crowd. Amazingly enough, the Toronto Star reported a reporter for the Toronto Star studied alcoholism from a university and professional level. Notice this. This individual, as far as I know, is not a born-again believer. He studied it from a professional and a university. This individual gave up social drinking. His research came up with this conclusion, quote, drinking has brought in its wake a host of evil byproducts on a scale unprecedented in our society. In 2020, the focus is on one thing that has a number in it, and I don't even want to say it. But you know what it's done? It's taken, in some cases, it's taken the focus off of things that have killed far more many lives. And I'll give you some things to think about here in just a minute. This is what the Toronto Star reporter said in his article. He said that it has brought in a host of evil byproducts on a scale unprecedented in our society. Death. What's in the bottom of the bottle? Death is in the bottom of the bottle. There's no life in the bottle of a liquor bottle. There's no life in the bottle of a wine bottle. There's no life in the bottom of a beer bottle, beer can, or whatever those are. There's nothing in there. No, death is there. Death to the human body, death to the physical body, death to relationships, death to everything. Sickness is in the bottom of the bottle. Sickness is in the... And I'm reading from a newspaper article from an unsaved man right now. I could give you verse after verse after verse, and we're going to look at some things in a little bit. But this is an unsaved reporter saying, I'm not even going to socially drink anymore because of these things. That's what's in the bottom of the bottle. Addiction is in the bottom of the bottle. Addiction is in the bottom of the bottle. Believe me, as I said, one drink doesn't usually lead to one drink. It leads to two, which leads to five, which leads to whatever. It's a controlling substance. Family disruption is in the bottom of the bottle. Family disruption is in the bottom of the bottle. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I'm looking at a good group of people here, but I don't know who I'm looking to online this afternoon. But I'll tell you this again. I've heard it time and time again that alcohol and many other things as well, but alcohol has done more damage to the family. It's done no good to the family. What's in the bottom of the bottle? Child abuse is in the bottom of the bottle. I don't know you, I don't know your testimony, and I'm not trying to bring up anything in your past that would cause you any type of discouragement or defeat, but there could be more than one someone in this room, and I know online probably as well, that because of alcohol, someone abused you in your life. Now that individual is responsible, as much as I'm responsible for the way I conduct myself and the way I live. Look, but there's nothing good that comes out of it. Child abuse comes out of it. Accidents of all sorts and all kinds come out of it. And astronomical health costs. This is from the article. That's not something that I wrote down. That's an article. All that I just read to you is from a Toronto Star newspaper writer who said, I'm not even going to be a social drinker anymore. If the world is writing an article like this, why don't we as God's children, and I think we are tonight, and I praise the Lord for that, why don't we as God's children sit up and take note? Here's an unsaved reporter saying some things that alcohol causes and letting us know what's in the bottom of the bottle. I think we as parents have a responsibility to teach our children what are the ramifications, what are the pitfalls that accompany drinking any alcoholic beverage. We must stand against any form of alcohol. Remember, one drink is too much. One drink is too much. Alcoholic beverages, another quote here, alcoholic beverages have become, and I don't remember how old this article is, but it's referring to the United States. Alcoholic beverages have become America's number one public health problem, costing over $117 billion a year. Claiming 100,000 lives a year. Again, I know we're in a pandemic, but I think we've had other pandemics before this one. And you've got commercials praising this pandemic. Can you imagine a commercial praising COVID-19? I remember, and again, confession is good for the soul, I guess. I shouldn't have been watching them. But I remember as a boy watching a lot of football games. And you know what came on the football games? Bud Light commercials. Budweiser commercials. You know what they all were? They were all funny. They were all funny. They were all glamorous. They were all showing this professional athlete and his alcohol and how, you know, he could drink and he could do this. Can you imagine? And so they're glorifying beer. They're glorifying alcohol. Can you imagine flipping on the TV tomorrow night and seeing someone glorifying COVID-19? That wouldn't even be allowed to hit the airwaves faster than it would even be produced. But I'm just saying, way before there was a problem with the number associated with it, 100,000 people a year were dying in the United States because of alcohol. By the way, that's 25 times as many as all illegal drugs combined. And those are bad too, but we're talking about what's in the bottom of the bottle. Here's an article from Wine in the Bible by Samuel, Italian guy. Wouldn't you know it? He says, Christian churches are partly responsible for the alcoholic epidemic raging today, because since the repeal of prohibition in 1933, most of them have abandoned their stand for total abstinence, encouraging instead moderation in drinking. Moderation has led millions to become immoderate drinkers. The first drink leads to all the problems. What's in the bottom of the bottle? What about wine? What about wine? What is right with it? How many homes have been kept together because of wine? By the way, and this isn't a study on wine, but I did a little bit more reading on it in preparation for this. But when you see the word wine in the Bible, please do not compare it to what is sold at BC liquor stores today. And we could talk about that possibly at some point if you'd like, but the two are completely on opposite ends of the spectrum. The wedding of Cana in Galilee, where Jesus turned water into wine. Please do not think for a moment that what Jesus made in the wedding of Galilee is a mocker. The word wine can represent so many things in the Bible, coming from the fruit of the vine. It is my belief, and I don't think it's my belief, I think it's what the Bible teaches, that my Jesus did not create anything intoxicating. That's not the Jesus I serve. That's not the Jesus I worship. And again, I could recommend, I have a book with me here tonight. I could show it to you afterwards that I would recommend you reading about biblical wines and biblical laws of wine and fermentation. It's a great read. Wine should be avoided. Wine should not be messed with. Again, the under-shepherd is given the responsibility to protect the sheep that God, and you're not mine, you belong to the Lord. But really, God just really directed me and made an impression upon my heart this week to bring this into this afternoon. By the way, when we use the word moderation within alcohol, I think it's very foolish. I think we ought to use the word abstain. Big difference between moderation and abstaining. Abstaining means stay as far away from it as you possibly can. I'd like to read something else to you. These are interviews that I've done with people in the past. No names are associated with them. But I've done interviews with three people in the past that had problems or were affected by the consumption of alcohol. Interview number one. This is from their lips to my pen. Number one, they said alcohol grows on you. Alcohol grows on you. They said they would look for every excuse to drink. When you are getting to the end of the bottle, you begin planning for the next one. Again, what's at the end of the bottle? There's no hope there. There's no hope there. It stole my personality. I'm quoting. It stole my personality. It stole who I am. They said, I'm ridden with guilt. I drink more to calm the guilt. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing, alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, none of these things are going to be able to mask the guilt that only the Lord Jesus Christ can take away from you. No, the Lord Jesus Christ can take all that guilt away and take all that shame away because he was nailed to the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin. Don't listen to the deception of the devil any longer. Come to Christ and be free of that guilt. This person said, my first drink was at 10 years old. I was drinking regularly by 17. Alcohol brought fear to my life. Alcohol turned me into a foolish person. Alcohol enhanced none of my good qualities. He said, alcohol is the problem. In other words, I'm not the problem. Alcohol is. I've got to stop drinking alcohol. Don't take one drink. It always leads to two. Again, I'm reading from these interviews. There's nothing charming about a slobbering drunk. Okay? That's what they told me. Number two. Alcohol changed my personality. Alcohol snowballs out of control. Alcohol is a deceiver. It gives false hope and happiness. Alcohol is the devil's biggest tool for teens. Alcohol, the effects of alcohol come on quickly. I had my first drink at 13. By 15 and 16, I was drinking regularly. I got drunk on wine quicker than beer. Now, again, I have no way of letting you know about that because I've never had one drop of any of it. Don't plan to. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that that's what they told me. 12 beers equals one bottle of wine. Last interview, changed my personality. You notice that? That was mentioned in all three. I've only witnessed a few full-blown drunk people that are drunk in my life. And the few people that I have witnessed, it definitely changed their personality. Because why? Because the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. In other words, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, that substance was controlling everything about them. They would climb to the top of the mast. And I'm not making fun, I'm just saying. Like the Bible says, they would climb to the top of the mast and wonder, why am I up here? They would go out into the middle of the sea and wonder, why am I out here? Yet then they would wake up and they would try to find it again. This person said it's more destructive than anything else. Commercials make it look fun. I wish I had more parental training, this person told me. I started drinking at 15. Both my parents were drinkers. I only stopped due to what the doctor told me it would kill me if I didn't. Physical problems came with it. It affects others around you. And this one, it will never happen to me. But it does. And it can. Let me give you three thoughts as we bring this challenge to a close regarding alcoholic beverages. And I've made some of these statements already, but let me repeat them. Number one, everything about them, this is what's in the bottom of the bottle, everything about them, number one, is destruction. Destruction. Genesis chapter 19, we looked at it already. We won't turn there. Lot and his daughters. Having two children by his own daughters. Destruction, destruction, destruction. I want to spend the most of the time on these next two, okay? Destruction. Number two, what's in the bottom of the bottle? Everything about it. They are deceiving. They are deceiving. Go to Proverbs chapter 20 if you've closed your Bible. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a what? Mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is what? Deceived thereby is not wise. Noah was deceived by it. Ephraim was deceived by it. Judah was deceived by it. See, here's the thing. Alcohol is intended to picture one thing, but its results and consequences reveal something entirely different. It's meant to picture the party scene. Hey, and by the way, nothing wrong with the party. I know we're kind of limited and we're not supposed to really have these big gatherings today, but you know, if you can remember what it's like to go to a normal party, a birthday party or a celebration or something, hey, that's great. But the picture, the scene of an alcoholic party with it is, the problem with those is that there is nothing shown with what's in the bottom of the bottle. There is nothing shown of the deception. There is nothing shown of the destruction that is taking place. And while it may not be taking place at that very night, it is coming. It is coming. The destruction is coming. The seeds are being planted. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, please. It is destroying. It is deceiving. Second Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Ultimately, sin of any kind without the Lord Jesus Christ is damning. Is damning. We're thinking tonight about what's in the bottom of the bottle. We're talking about alcohol, every form of it. But this could really be any sin. I don't want to get off that theme, though. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 12 says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had, what's the next word? Pleasure. Pleasure. In unrighteousness. Again, that's one reason why we want to be careful how we throw around words. That word damned is a Bible word. But it carries with it a penalty that is irreversible. This is talking about eternity in hell. It is not a place where there will be a party going on all the time. It is not a place where they will be drinking alcohol and having a boozing party and our friends will be there and I'll just go there and I'll party with the devil forever. If anybody's ever thought that or said that, they're going to be sorely disappointed if they end up going there. And I would never want anyone to go there, by the way. Never. Think of all those who have been killed as the result of someone under the influence of an alcoholic beverage. Think of this. everyone that was killed in a car accident because of someone who was drunk and they were killed and they did not know Christ. That's exactly right. I know we're emphasizing one thing tonight, but it's okay. Allow me to do that tonight. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart, made it very clear that this is what God wanted me to preach this afternoon. And not only was it terrible that that person was drinking and driving, but they have sent someone into eternity who is now going to stand before God, and they're going to be in the lake of fire forever. Now, they're responsible. I'm not blaming it all on this person, but I'm just saying, look at the contribution that was made. Again, I'm not mad at anyone tonight. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anyone. If anything, I'm mad at the devil. Because as I'll be saying here, and I'll just say it right now, ultimately, Satan is to blame. Why? Because everything that God wants to do, Satan wants to destroy. God wants to make in you and God wants to make in me something beautiful for His honor and glory. And you know what Satan wants to do? Destroy that. And in some cases, he'll use a bottle. Destroy it. Praise God, we can be forgiven of that sin if that's something that we struggle with. I'm just again, zeroing in on that. We can be forgiven of whatever it is tonight. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not how you get rid of the guilt, by drinking another one. No, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you repent and you get right with Him and you get saved. And well, I tell you what, God makes a new creation out of you and out of me. Was the alcohol to blame for that car wreck? Was the person who drank it to blame? Was the producer? Was the developer? Was the alcohol company to blame? They're all contributors. But ultimately, as I said, I truly believe that Satan is to blame. Please turn with me to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I want to be a voice tonight, a loving voice tonight, but a passionate, a strong voice tonight that says to you here that are with me, that says to you that are watching online, stay away from alcohol. Stay away from it. Avoid it. Every form of it. Wine, beer, liquor, whatever, you name it. Get it out. Go home tonight if you have it in your home tonight. If you have any of it in your home tonight, and just dump it down the drain and get rid of it. You don't need it. Throw the bottle out. If you want some accountability, you can call me. You can talk to me. I'd love to meet with you. I'm just saying, I'm telling you this because I care about you. The devil cares nothing about you but seeing you come to him in hell forever. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Notice, called the devil and Satan. Look at, which deceiveth the whole world. Deceiveth the whole world. He's deceived me. He's deceived you. We've all been deceived at some point in our life. Okay? Believe me. I said earlier, I've never had any alcohol. I'm not saying I'm better than you if you've had alcohol. I'll just tell you right now, I've been deceived in many areas of my life. Why? Because I listen to the devil. Because he's the deceiver. He always will be. He's not going to change his stripes. He's the great deceiver. And I know this is speaking of the end, but look what it says here. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Look at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That's what he's doing right now. He's accusing the body of Christ. He's deceiving the lost. He's trying to deceive us, that which accused them before our God day and night. Satan is a destroyer. Satan a deceiver. And Satan is wanting to damn your soul to hell. And I'm telling you, these are one of the things that he uses in the life of many people is alcohol. The body that you have as a believer, especially tonight, is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. What you put into your temple should bring honor and glory to him. It should be acceptable unto the Lord. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I could say a little bit more, but I believe that we've made what the Lord wants us to say tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Scriptures make it very clear. Unfortunately, we have, and I didn't want to bring any of this in and give any kind of credence to it because I think it's foolishness. We have churches today that have literally rolled out the red carpet. Make no apology at all about making beer. Making it. They've been deceived. Again, I can be deceived as much as anyone. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. Wine is a mocker. I think the devil's laughing himself to hell when he sees a church, any kind of church that says they believe in the Bible, who would encourage it. I find no good in it. I find no good in it in Scripture. I find no good in it in life.